With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Bembo's standing over this, and perhaps his gaiter as well, I think, to take this free kick into the penalty area. This could be the chance as we enter the final 5 minutes for Stourbridge to nick this and make that history and get into the third round. Bembo with the lob ball into the penalty area. The goalkeeper's missed it, and it's in! It's there! And who else but Leon Broadhurst fires the ball into the net!
So, welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick Extra. And didn't they do well? Yes, Stourbridge. We're going to be speaking to Gary Hackett in a second or two. But before that, it's now time to do some introductions. And joining me now for the first part of the show, we're now joined from the NPL Facebook group by that guy on the tannoy. It's James Hayes. Hello, James.
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. So, a cracking result midweek for Stourbridge. That's where we're going to start. And to give you a little insight into what happened on Tuesday evening, we now hand over to the capable hands of Richard Nevin and Adam Parks on Black Country Radio.
And it will be cleared away rather awkwardly by Green. It comes to Gaiter. Gaiter's got a little bit of space. Down he goes towards that corner. And if he stays down there, can hang on to the ball, and the referee's blown the whistle, and that's it. And history is made yet again at the War Memorial. Stourbridge are through to the third round of the FA Cup for the first time in their history, where they will face Wycombe Wanderers on Saturday the 7th of January. And it's an absolutely amazing result here at the War Memorial. It wasn't the domination against Whitehawk. It was a hard-fought win, but the better team won on the night. The goal coming just 4 minutes from time. Jack Duggan, who caused problems in the penalty area from set pieces alongside his centre-back partner, Dan Scar, all the way through the evening, was there to volley the ball into the net in front of the shed end and cause mayhem here. It has been a fantastic evening, and it has finished in this FA Cup second round tie. Stourbridge 1, Northampton Town 0. Adam, your view.
The biggest day in the history of Stourbridge Football Club. The biggest evening in the history of Stourbridge Football Club. Stourbridge, third round. And the interesting thing is they've got a winnable tie in the third round. They're playing a league opposition which is lower than Northampton. Wycombe Wanderers in League 2 rather than League 1. And boy, you know, all of a sudden this is really opening it up for Stourbridge Football Club. The whole game, I think, the better quality as far as going forward is concerned was always from Stourbridge. Possession was pretty even throughout. But Northampton Town let themselves down many times going forward. The final ball in the final third was poor. And the Grassforce defence did what it had to do. And there were some immense performances in there from the likes of Dan Scar, from Christian Green. And I think that's basically where the game was won in the end, because of they defended so well. And then the pace of Matt Dodd going forward down the right-hand side certainly caught out the Northampton Town defence on several occasions. And at the end of the day, it was a deserved victory for Stourbridge, and they deserved to be in the third round. Andy Pountney, the chairman of Stourbridge Football Club, is gingerly making his way over the benches to us. Andy, let me shake your hand. Wonderful, wonderful night for you.
Amazing, you have to pinch yourself. But somehow we thought we should have done it last year and we lost to Eastleigh. We learned a couple of things, what we did wrong or what we didn't quite do right. This is the best team we've had at this level. No doubt about it. And
they outplayed Northampton Town completely from start to finish.
He won a fluke. We had about 10 minutes. I think down to fitness. I think Connor Gaiter coming on settled us down a little bit and allowed us to move the ball about and win the ball where we were losing it. And there ain't no doubt about it. We're a good team. You know, folks have got to give us credit. We're a good side and this is a good footballing team. And
one thing is, you won't be scared of Wycombe.
They're scared of nobody, you know. If you're going to a game, scared you beat straight away, are you? So, no. Whoever we take on, we'll give them a game. And we've got a good attitude around the club. We've had a couple of wobbles, but we've dealt with it, sat down, talked about it. hopefully now we've seen the fruition of what we've been working at.
You said to me at the start of the season, sometimes you have to pinch yourself to actually believe that there are nights like this actually happening. But it's happening on a regular basis now every season. It's fantastic for the club.
It ain't a fluke, is it? And it ain't luck. It's down to real hard work. I'm sure if I didn't work for myself, I'd have had the sack by now for the hours we put in. And so would be other directors, I'm sure. It is hard work. And I just hope the fans that come tonight come every week and come against Spennymoor and get your backsides down here boxing now against top of the league, Rushall. And let's try and push on now and really galvanise this club to get to the next level, because I want us to be playing Stockport and Darlington and Kiddy Harriers here on a regular basis, because that's where we belong. When you see it tonight, we don't look like 80 odd positions lower than Northampton.
Andy, many, many congratulations. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Cheers, thanks. Thanks for all your support. Thank you.
So a big thank you there to Black Country Radio and Andy Pountney, chairman at Stourbridge, with a very hoarse voice. And joining me with, he's coughing and everything, it's Gary Hackett, the manager at Stourbridge. Hello, Gary. Congratulations, mate.
Cheers, thank you very much, and good afternoon.
My first question to you is, though, not about, you know, what's it like to get into the third round, or what was it like on the evening and that kind of thing. The first question I have to ask is Andy all right? How's his voice? Is he going to be okay?
our chairman's a larger-than-life guy, right? You know, I've drank with him far too many times, and he can literally drink me under the table. So he's probably very hoarse with shouting, eating, drinking, and having a merry time. But, you know, he's been a fantastic chairman for us, so I wouldn't knock him at all.
So, you're through to the third round. First time in Stourbridge's history. I think probably the first time you've ever done it as a manager. What does it feel like?
Do you know what? It does take some sinking in. I think it's more the other people speaking to you and being so excited for you that you recognise what you've achieved. And, perhaps 2 days later, I'm now starting to, you know, realise that, you know, for the whole town, the football club, it's just an amazing achievement. You know, to even get in a draw with the likes of the Manchester United, the Liverpools, the Arsenals. You know, we are established from the Northern Premier League, and you know, we should all feel immensely proud.
And you mentioned the Uniteds, the Arsenals, the Chelseas, and that kind of thing. You've got Wickham. Wickham, though, what are you expecting? I mean, Adam Parks there on Black Country Radio was saying it's winnable. I mean, we'll get you on for your customary spot in the new year to talk about this fixture more in depth. But is the FA Cup now, you're putting on a back burner because you've got Spennymoor this weekend coming up in the league, and your league form's been superb of late as well, we have to say.
Yes, I mean, you know, we've got four, you know, massive league games until we play Wickham, and, you know, my focus will be very much on these games. It's no good thinking about Wickham. We need to put points on the board, and, you know, Spennymoor have had a very healthy start, very, you know, probably a very similar position, and it's a big game tomorrow, and we've got to be on our mettle to make sure we try and get those 3 points. And as I said, we had a good game with Spennymoor a few weeks ago, excuse me, and I'm pretty sure it'll be a tight game again. And you know, our focus will be very much on league form for 2 or 3 weeks now.
Now, how are you going to manage this then? Because this has always been my question to you, Gary, ever since you've started coming on the show during this cup run. You've got this game coming up against Spennymoor. It's a big game. Then you've got the likes of Hensford coming up, and then that Boxing Day clash against Rushall Olympic as well. Potentially, you could be slap bang in the title race come the Wickham match. But how do you ensure that the players don't get too excited and they keep their feet on the ground and they get the 3 points in these matches?
I think it's very cliched, but you do have to take one game at a time. And to be fair, in the middle of these kind of big games, you know, just before the when we were due to play Northampton, the week after we played Workington at home, and our attitude was absolutely spot on. And, you know, I can't fault the boys over the last few weeks with all that's been going on. And I'm pretty sure, you know, come Saturday, we'll be bang on. And ultimately, the team is not picked for Wickham. And anybody who might be slacking up or taking it easy might suddenly find themselves not in the team. So there's still a lot to play for, and I'm pretty sure we'll be well focused for these big games. We'll have some healthy crowds, and we're really looking forward to it.
Now, I'm not going to keep you for much longer, Gary, because your voice, I want you to have a good voice for Saturday, because you're going to be doing a lot of shouting, clearly. Actually, you're not really a shouting type, are you? You always leave it to your coaching staff, so I think you'll be fine. But anyway, I'll let you rest your throat anyway. Gary Hackett, on behalf of all the listeners, a big congratulations, well done, a superb, sterling effort, getting through to the third round, it's absolutely tremendous. On behalf of all the listeners, we wish you and everyone associated with the club a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year in the FA Cup in particular.
Thank you very much, much appreciated.
So, Gary Hackett there, manager at Stourbridge, and it's an obvious question, James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, but didn't they do well?
They didn't just do well, they absolutely deserved it. They just completely dominated the complete second half. But to do it in the Cup against a team that have knocked out four or five teams in the NPL in the last couple of years as well, what a fantastic achievement and what a reward for them as well, away at Wickham.
And is it going to be on the BBC, James?
Sadly, it's not.
No, it's not.
You never know what's going to happen.
My goodness, what does Stourbridge have to do? That's that. In all honesty, really. But anyway, a big congratulations to Stourbridge. We're obviously going to be doing a fixture preview in the second part of the show. That's with Andrew Simpson for the Midchester Guardian. And we'll be previewing properly that match against Spennymoor Town this weekend, which is a proper big fixture. So, yes, we're going to do a fixture preview for league matches in the second part of the show. But before that, James, just a quick mention for the FA Trophy. It's not been the best of rounds, the first round of the FA Trophy for NPL sides. And, well, we'll cover off Saturday's results firstly. Going to the third qualifying round replay, there was still one match hanging over. Blyth Spartans 2, Altrincham 3. A bit of an upset, I'm going to suggest, even though there is a couple of league places between the two sides.
I did well to get the replay back there, even though we should have won it at the same time. But Altrincham 3-0 down at half time is a bit of a big ask for Blyth to get back into it there. But yeah, I think Blyth will look at that as an opportunity dropped more than anything there.
But it means that they can now concentrate on the league, and I think that's where Blyth really are putting their money this season. First round then on Saturday. Some disappointing results. Farsley Celtic 0, Southport 4. Again, despite the fact that there's, two divisions between the two sides.
I still
consider that a bit of an upset, especially by that scoreline. But commiserations to Farsley Celtic, a cracking run in the trophy. It was always going to be tricky at Liberty Way. Nuneaton Town 3, Stocksbridge Park Steels 1. We interviewed the manager last week, Chris Hilton. We said if you'd played Nuneaton about 3 weeks ago, you'd walk it. But Nuneaton are a very different side now under Tommy Wright.
I mean, Stocksbridge did well to take the lead at Nuneaton. A fantastic effort there from Harrison Biggins to get him in front. But fantastic effort for getting to the first round anyway from the Premier Lumberies.
Now, let me tell you something. Stockport County against Marine. James, I was at this game. So I could take it from here. Marine were very, very unlucky. I found myself in the Stockport County end, and Marine got a penalty in the first couple of minutes or so. And I found myself going, oh, they got a penalty. And then I went, oh, I'm in the home end. I better be quiet. So at that point, I kept it quiet. But Marine, very, very unlucky. 2-1 up. The referee intervened, in my humble opinion. I'm not sure it was a sending off. And Stockport County got a bit of a smash and grab at the end. And, unlucky Marine, I thought. Very unlucky. Witten Albion, a very good result, this one. 1-1 on Saturday. A superb effort. We're going to speak to Andrew Simpson, obviously, in the second part of the show to hear what happened midweek. When we said we had the fixture preview last week with Mark Carruthers from the Non-League Daily, we said if Witten get anything out of that first game, it would be an absolute amazing result. Not only did they get something out of that first game, but they nearly did it in the replay as well. So all credit to Cal McCauley and everyone at Witten. A superb effort. But congratulations goes to this week. Drum roll. Thanks, James. That's the worst drum roll.
Oh, sorry.
Solihull Moors 1, Matlock Town 2. And, it looks like, based on the scoreline alone and when people scored, a bit comfortable for Matlock.
Fantastic achievement there for Matlock Town, beating a team two divisions above them. Again, also Solihull haven't been performing the best this season in the National League but to take the lead after 60 minutes and then hold the nerve again, fantastic achievements.
So congratulations to Matt Lochtel making it through to the second round of the FA Trophy. A big congratulations to Stourbridge making it through to the third round of the FA Cup. And commiserations to all our representatives who got knocked out in the last round of the FA Trophy. But we've got two flag bearers in FA competitions, and that's cracking. So, League, James, League. Right, coming up in a second or two, we're going to be hearing from Jimmy Ginelli at Barwell. We've got Colville. We're also going to be hearing from Lee Morris at Fricklow Athletic, as well as Nantwich Town. Right, so, James, where do you want to start? Shall we start with the top?
We will do, James. Let's go for it.
Okay, I say start at the top. It was top v bottom on Saturday afternoon. And Corby Town 1, Rushall Olympic 4. Not really a surprise, I don't think. Rushall Olympic cementing their spot up at the top now by 3 points over Buxton. And Buxton could only manage a 0-0 draw against Skelmersdale United. So there you go. And Whitby Town, who are in third at the moment, they went down at home 3-1 to Nantwich Town. So a cracking afternoon on Saturday for Rushall Olympic.
I think the result of the day was both on Nantwich rather than anywhere else. Obviously, just close that gap up there. But as I mentioned before, Rushall 3 points clear now at the top with Buxton's errors this weekend. Obviously, this moment, with half the games played now, for the top four now. Nice little bit of setting stone, getting ready for the madness of Christmas with three games back-to-back, pretty much.
Now, Hensford Town, they had a good Saturday as well, cementing their spot in fourth position now. 5 points off league leaders. They did that by beating Warrington Town by 1-0, a result that sees Warrington drop down to eighth position in the league table. Still only 2 points from the playoff positions, though, we should say. Nantwich Town on Tuesday night, they were the only show in town on Tuesday in the league. And it was Nantwich Town 4, Skelmersdale United 0. Johnny Crowther of Redshift Radio, he spoke with Neil Savell, assistant manager at Nantwich, after that game.
Professional performance tonight, Neil.
Yeah, it was. You know, we said after the game there, chatting to the lads, not think we really got out of second gear tonight. No disrespect to Skem. You know, probably sloppy at times with the passing, didn't move it as well as we have done, but you know, we're running and groaning, and we've won 4-0, so shows what a good group we've got. But yeah, the early goal doesn't half make the difference. I mean, before the game they were talking about they played at Buxton on Saturday,
good result.
And he said, you know, Buxton didn't create a chance. Mm. And you know the problems we've had here in the past against deep lying defences. But so yeah, delighted. Within 2 or 3 minutes we'd scored, which is great, and it makes them have to come out a little bit, which they did probably later on. Still took them a while to come out and have a go, I think.
Andy White, absolute screamer, what a goal that was. Another clean sheet as well. I know you'll always be delighted with that. I thought Stair and young Stair alongside Curtis tonight, I thought they did really well, and you know, yeah, a few sloppy mistakes, I think they need to cut them out, but you've got away with it.
Yeah, we, you know, defensively we were solid when they had possession. Probably there was times tonight where we were trying to play out from the back, and you know, it looks poor, doesn't it, if you don't do it effectively, and not just at this level, and we all know of Premier League teams who are doing it and it's not working at the minute. So yeah, but it's looks something we work on. It's something we try to do. I think it's the best way of playing for us. We haven't got them big target players that we can hit the ball long to, so you know, we've got technical players, and we'll try and build up. We just, some days it goes for you, some days not quite as good.
That bad run's over now. You know, a few games where the performances weren't up to the normal level that you and Phil and Grigsy and Parksy expect. You know, great result at Whitby, good result tonight, Frickley at home on Saturday. And if we win our games in hand, we could go top.
Yeah, well,
there's a lot of games in hand.
Yeah, there's a lot of games in hand. It's a long way away, yeah, isn't it?
I'm being a bit optimistic, maybe.
Yeah, we've got ourselves to the point where we can push into them playoffs now, so we're ready to capitalise now. I think we're right on the cusp of it. And, you know, if teams above us lose and we win on Saturday, we go in. So, you know, we're putting pressure on them. We've still got them games in hand to play. So, yeah, you know, disappointed with the three games we lost, but, you know, we've bounced back well there, 3-1 and 4-0 tonight. Like you say, another clean sheet. So hopefully more of the same on Saturday.
So a big thank you there to Johnny Crowther, speaking with Neil Savell, assistant manager at Nantwich Town. A good week for Nantwich Town, into seventh position now.
They've been picking up a lot of key points recently. I don't want to say 6 points at this moment in time.
Yay.
But it's had,
say
it's
it, had say some, it. Everyone wants you to say it. Go
yeah,
on.
He's starting to get the matches, though, especially with how the league's setting up at the moment. You've got, coming later in the season, I think they played Whitby Town twice now up there, but you start taking more and more points off that top half. Nantwich could do something impressive at this moment in time if they can keep the run going.
Throughout this show now, for the last month and a half or so, I'm going to suggest, there's a group of teams who are not quite relegation candidates and not in the top half of the table. They're mid-table. That's the right phrase. Cracking mid-table sides like Grantham, Barwell, Colville, etc. Michelover Sports had put in that list, and basically it's a group of teams who could beat anybody in the league on their day. So Spennymoor 3, Michelover Sports 0 on Saturday. See Spennymoor Town into the playoff positions, into fifth position. That is a very, very good result for Spennymoor.
It is indeed. Again, Michelover have proven the point this year that they can beat the teams at the top end of the table, because there's no easy games going to there at this moment in time. Grantham got the firepower back. Michelover, a very, very tough side to play at this moment. So moving forward, let's see what these four teams can do. I mean, I've got a feeling one of them could have a quick break for the playoffs, yeah, personally.
Well, let's see who that's going to be over the next few weeks or so. But you mentioned finding the goal-scoring boots. Colville Town certainly have in recent weeks. A cracking result this in Cumbria on Saturday. Workington 0, Colville Town 4. And joining me now to discuss it in more depth, we're joined by the Colville Town assistant manager. It's Mark Harvey. Hello, Mark. How's things?
Hiya. How you doing? All right, thank you.
I'm all good. Welcome to the show. Your debut on the show must be a very proud moment for you, I'd imagine. A cracking result against Workington. Where did that come from?
To be honest, I think it's been coming. You know, over the last few weeks, we've had an upturn in fortune, an upturn in performances on and off the pitch. We, you know, we've brought a few players in to strengthen us, and we have been playing well. And you know, even a few weeks ago when we lost to Whitby, you know, we was more than a match for them. The game could have gone either way, and obviously everything came together on Saturday.
And you're not wrong, it has been coming. I mean, in fact, I don't think anyone should be surprised, really, because you mentioned the Whitby result there, but you've beaten teams like Hensford Town in the last few weeks, as well as Nantwich. And what's been the reason for the turnaround? Because a few people at the start of the season fancied Colville to do a Sutton Coldfield this season and really take to the league like a fish in water. But it's not really happened until the last couple of months or so. What's been the change at the club?
We got promoted with a very, very young squad. And because it was a young squad, we was determined to give all the players that got us the promotion an opportunity to compete at this level. And obviously the season started a little bit topsy-turvy, and we started off okay, and then gradually results were dropping off, and it was becoming apparent that we needed to make some changes and get some experience in to maintain the status in this league, which is what we've done over the last few weeks. We bought three or four lads in and moved a few lads out that were struggling to compete at this level. Not that they're not good players, but, you know, they've perhaps got promoted a little bit too early for themselves. And obviously, as we've brought the players in, you know, on the pitch and off the pitch, things are starting to turn around and look good.
Now, when we spoke to Tommy Brookbanks at the end of last season, a cracking season last year for Colville, what was the expectations this season at the club for what Colville could do?
Well, in all fairness, we was threatened by the chairman at the start of the season to make sure that we don't go get promoted again. you know, obviously, you know, the club's come a long way in a very short space of time, you know, from where they was playing a few years ago to where they are now. And, you know, it's taking, you know, steps on and off the field all at the same time. But, you know, it's a long way to come all in one go. You know, so as ultimate aim right at the start of the season was to maintain our position in this league. And obviously me and Tom was starting to get a little bit concerned that we might struggle to do that if we didn't make these changes. So, you know, we spoke about it at length and then decided, look, we've got to do something and make sure that we do. And at the minute, it looks like it's worth what we've done.
Now, competition-wise, I've not come up with a title to christen the four clubs I'm about to mention, but I think Gang of Four pretty much sums it up, I reckon. Yourselves, Barwell, Michelover Sports and Grantham Town, they're in that mid-table pack and very, very capable. giving the teams up at the top end a black eye, as you prove with Hensford and Nantwich. What have you made of the competition more widely at the club this season?
You know, we've said, I mean, obviously me and Tom have both been in this at this level before as players as well as managers. And when we came into it, I think it sort of shocked us a little bit, the step up in standard completely throughout the whole league. And we have found that there's very little to choose between the top teams and the bottom teams, in all honesty. I think if you're not on it on your day, it doesn't matter who you're playing, they will beat you and they will turn you over. And I think that's one of the big differences from last season to this season is, you know, last season we could probably turn out and not be fully at it right from the start and we'd get through and win the game. Last season, I think there's probably five or six games where we was 2-0 down and came back and won. In this league, that don't happen. If you're not on it for 90 minutes, the teams punish you, and we've found that as a lesson to be learned very quickly.
Well, Mark Harvey, assistant manager at Coalville Town, a big thank you for coming on the show. And on behalf of all the listeners, a big Merry Christmas to yourself and Tommy and everyone associated with the club. Have a cracking Christmas, and we'll be hearing from you in the new year.
Thanks a lot, and Merry Christmas to everybody else. Thank you.
Coalville Town, for a lot of people, I think it was you, someone predicted that they were going to be this season Sutton Coldfield. Can they go further than that? Because they have been struggling for a while, and then all of a sudden they've found a formula, haven't they?
Yeah, you just said, I think it was myself that said they would completely struggle this year, first time at this level. And again, they've done in my eyes, they've done what the impossible is. Again, just depends on the next couple of weeks, because they've got a very tough 3 weeks coming forward with Hales or in Barwell.
Now, the next result features, well, we mentioned Hales Owen Town 1, Grantham Town 1. I don't know what you can say about that result, to be honest with you. Anything to add?
Very mid-table-ish,
isn't it? Yes, very mid-table-ish. Perfect summation of that result there. The next result, I think, combines the two areas. It's Barwell 1, Sutton Coldfield Town 1. And for Barwell, it's Barwell are 12th now. And it seems like only, well, it was the start of the month when we were discussing are Barwell in trouble. I don't think they are. But what do we know? Let's ask the manager. Here's the Barwell manager, Jimmy Ginnelly. So, a good run of form at the moment for Barwell. And joining me, it's the welcome return of the manager. It's Jimmy Ginnelly. Hello, Jimmy. How's things?
Hiya, Ben. I hope you're well.
I'm all good, mate. So, this run of form that Barwell are on at the moment, it's very welcomed, and it's seen you slowly climb up the table. This is good news at the club.
Massively. We had a terrible start. Everybody at the club knew it. The truth was, Ben, we tried to go with all the youngsters being released by Derby, Forest, Coventry, Leicester. Some really, really talented lads, but unfortunately, the Northern Premier is a little bit too strong for that sort of level of footballer.
So what was your expectations at the start of the season? Because obviously Barwell last year, I remember having you on towards the end of the season and you were touching the playoff positions. Was that the expectation going into this season, or were you after a transition year with the youngsters coming on board?
Yeah, I had a real good chat with the chairman at the start and said, look, I'm going to get rid of 4 or 5. I was a disappointed man when we got beat 3-0 at the King Power Leicester Stadium to a team 2 leagues below us in the local Leicester Senior Cup. I thought the attitude of 1 or 2 of the experienced lads was quite poor after they'd lost the game. I can take a defeat, but, you know, 5 or 6 just seemed to take it a lot easier than I did. And I thought, right, I'll tell you what, might be time for a transition and have a look at a lot of kids for 12 months. So I convinced the chairman that I was going in the right direction and brought all the kids in. Great, absolutely tremendous in the pre-season friendlies, but as I say, you know, I was looking at it and watching it and thinking, he is a talented kid, but I've been saying to a lot of friends this year that this Northern Premier has got to be the toughest I've ever seen it.
We've been saying that all season, and we've heard this before with the likes of Ilkeston, but it just requires a couple of mature heads in the team to settle the youngsters. Is that what you're finding as well this season?
Yeah, I mean, I was Richard Lavery, last year's captain, or last 3 years' captain, decided to go to look for something new. We had a chat and he wanted to play every week. At 39 years of age, I asked him if I could manage his last 12 months and play Saturday, miss Tuesday. But he's such a winner. He wanted to play both, so he went and signed for rugby. And we didn't really have a lot of other experience with all these kids I'd brought in. So I ended up going in and fetching Cleveland Taylor, Craig Stanley. You know, they both played 600-700 games in the Football League and in the conference. So they've both come in and have steadied the ship massively with their experience, really.
So what we've seen now over the last few weeks or so is it all your plans coming to fruition, the experience, the youth all clicking together and now forming quite a tidy unit at the club?
Yeah, we do look. I do appreciate the other managers telling me that they think we're a strong looking outfit now, and certainly 3 months ago or probably 5 weeks ago, Ben, I'd have probably been looking, going to one or two of the top six sides, thinking I was going to be a game too far for these youngsters, but now I can go there thinking, you know, if we perform, we can give anybody a game, and that's the position I feel that we're in now. That, you know, we've got an absolute monster Saturday away at Blyth and then at home to Stafford, but now I say we give them a game of hope anyway.
And what's your expectation now? Obviously, you've got Blyth this weekend, and that's a very tough game. And obviously, with the FA Trophy exit, they might be a bit sore after last weekend. But stranger things have happened. And what are you expecting this weekend from your side and from Blyth?
Well, again, I just hope we go up and do ourselves justice, really, because we're doing the usual Christmas weekend away. You know, we're stopping up there Saturday night, so there's loads going on. But I have tried to say to the lads, listen, you know, make Saturday night really good with at least a point. Don't just go up there for a weekend Christmas party time. Let's get something out of it. But we all know you can go to Blyth and get beat 3-4-0 on a regular basis. But we have been there before and nicked a point, and that's what we'll try and do again Saturday.
Excellent stuff. Well, Jimmy, on behalf of all the listeners, thanks for coming on the show, and all the best for Christmas, and all the best in the North East on Saturday night. It's
brilliant.
It's a lively place to go to on a Saturday, so stay safe. Yeah?
Yeah.
Free rings when you get home, all right?
Cheers, pal. Top man, bench.
So, big thank you there, Barwell manager Jimmy Ginnelly, joining us on this week's Evo Stick Extra. A good result that, though, for Sutton Coldfield Town. They've still got loads of games played, though, over everyone around them. However, there was a big 6 points in the relegation zone on Saturday, and it went the way of Fricklow Athletic. Fricklow Athletic 4, Ilkeston 0. I've watched the highlights. I think Ilkeston finished with 9 players, though, and I think they were down to 10 players after 20 minutes. So I'm not sure what you can read from that, but a very good 3 points there for Fricklow Athletic. Now, after the match, Fricklow Athletic TV caught up with Lee Morris, manager at Fricklow Athletic, to hear his views.
Totally. Firstly, your thoughts on today's game?
Very happy. I thought first half we were very impressive. You know, I think it could have been 6-7 at half time, and that had been taking nothing away from Ilkeston. But, you know, a few harsh words, because, you know, if we play a good team, we normally get put to bed early, and we don't do that to teams. So, you know, at half time, that's what we said, and, you know, we went out and did it. So, very pleased with today. Very pleased.
Right, can I take you back to 28th of August? We've got 0 points, players are low on confidence, bottom of the league, Cal's just quit. What made you think, that's the job for me?
Well, I've said to you many a time, you know, as a player, I've got a great affiliation with fans, you know, my family loves it up here, so it was a no-brainer for me. You know, I've always wanted to manage the club, and to be honest, I didn't think it was as big a job when I took it to what it is now. But, you know, if somebody had said in 2.5 months when we'd be 5 points clear at relegation zone, I'd have snapped their hands off, and that's what we are, so I'm pleased at the moment.
You just referred to your playing career a bit. Clearly, Fricklow legend as a player. Does that make it harder to come back as a manager, or does it make it easier, or doesn't it really affect you?
It can, because there's expectations, you know, there's expectations in everything you do in life, and it is because, you know, the fans want instant success, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, happen overnight, but we're slowly getting there, and like I say, another 3 points towards safety, and that's a massive thing. And yeah, it is hard when you've been here and you've you know what it's all about. And, you know, there's some great people behind the scenes for Fickley. And, you know, so there is extra pressure to do it for them, but, you know, we've got a smashing bunch of lads in that dressing room, so I have every faith that we'll stay up.
You've referred to this already. The season's been a bit stop-start. Good victories followed by poor defeats. You must find that quite frustrating as a management team.
Very frustrating. That's the worst thing probably about being a manager, because we set them up exactly the same, whether we're playing top of the league or bottom of the league, and it's mentally for the lads, because they seem to put it in against top teams, and this is the first, Ilkeston are the first team in and around us that we've really beat. And, you know, they've got to take that. You know, we've got two hard games coming up, and, you know, we'll be up for it because they're good teams, and mentally, the lads now, you know, they're coming of age, they've got to get consistent, and if we get consistent, we'll pick points up.
And finally, what are your hopes for the rest of the season?
Safety, to be honest. People say it's going to go right to the wire, and I think it will, but it'd be nice to be safe before so we can actually enjoy summer season. But there's a long way to go, and like I say, 23 points from I think it's 48 that we've had available is a good turnaround, and like I say, I'm just happy at the moment, and it's a lads' night out, Christmas night out tonight, so they can go and enjoy it. And yeah, enjoy the night, and you know, don't get too carried away, but we've got an Nantwich in high spirits.
Great. Thank you, and Merry Christmas, Lee Morris.
Merry Christmas.
So there's the manager at Fickle Athletic, Lee Morris, speaking to Fickle Athletic TV on YouTube after their 4-0 win. Quite a decisive victory, that one. There is some extenuating circumstances, obviously, with players being sent off and that kind of thing. But it is a bit iffy times at Ilkeston at the moment. We'll cover off Ilkeston in later weeks, but Ilkeston currently do have a lot of games in hand over Fickle Athletic, four. In fact, and they are 5 points now from Fickle Athletic and the safety positions. Now, James, I think that's everything we've covered. Yes. So, James, that can only mean one thing. It's now time for this week's Integro Dudeson League Cup Dudeson Roundup. James, what a week of football it's been in the Dudeson this past week. Two mammoth upsets. Starting off, Bamber Bridge 4, Marine 1, and Daniel Mitchley scored for Marine, so I'm assuming they had a good lineup out on Tuesday night. And lastly, Leek Town 1, Hensford Town 0. So two superb upsets there from Division 1.
Yeah, the hole is out again in round 1 for the second year in a row. Obviously, Warrington got knocked out straight away last season, but I don't know if Marine had a bit of a hangover from the Stockport County game. But Bamber Bridge obviously have just lost Neil Crow, who's a good friend of the show. Neil Reynolds stepping up to the manager role now after being assistant for a good 6-7 years. Again, Bamber Bridge have just been flying out the blocks recently, so I don't think that was much of a shock as you'd expect it to be. But on paper, definitely, especially whilst the holders are now out. In regards to the Leek Town game, Leek have been flying in the last couple of weeks and they've got a good little bit built team. But as you said before, I didn't expect Hensford to go out there straight away, especially with the good quality teams that did advance into the second round.
And we should say as well, a big good luck to Neil Crow for the future, as well as Paul Moore at Colwyn Bay, who was on the show last month talking about Colwyn Bay's chances of getting promoted. No longer in charge at Colwyn Bay. So a big good luck to both those managers for the future in whatever role they decide to do next. But two cracking lads. James, speaking of cracking lads, thank you for coming on the show. Where's the best place to go to keep abreast of everything that's going on in the Northern Premier League and for instant reaction and discussion and screenshots and banter and chatter? Where's the best place to go?
At facebook.com/groups/DMPL or on Twitter at the MPL group.
And just to say, the MPL group put the BBC to shame this week with its discussions around Stourbridge and cup upsets. You've done a good service this week, James. Congratulations. Thank you. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, thank you very much for joining us this week, and you have a lovely week. So, enough about the past. It's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And drawing eyes with me now, we can only go to one place. To Mid-Cheshire, the life and soul of any non-league party. It's Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. Hello, Andy. How's things?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all good, mate. So, before we get to the Premier Division, it feels customary to start with Mid-Cheshire Division 1 corner. And, we'll start with the the heroics of Witton Albion midweek. We said Chester was going to be ticky. Yeah. You got the replay. Yeah. Amazing to get the replay. And they always say the underdogs don't do well in the replay. Witton nearly did it. They nearly did it, didn't they?
They nearly did it times two. I mean, there was a sense after Saturday's game that their best chance had gone, and I think that's fair. But it was a tremendous performance, and they were denied, a famous, and it would have been a famous victory. And you know, we need to keep remembering this is a side that was three leagues higher, and I counted up more than 60 places higher than Witton in the non-league pyramid, and only a couple of saves from Chester's goalkeeper in injury time stopped them from going out, and even the Chester manager John McCarthy himself admitted after that game that they were lucky still to be in the trophy. I think everybody kind of headed over to Chester on Tuesday kind of thinking, well, you know, Chester will get the job done, which they did, but the manner in which they did it, I mean, look, you know, disclaimer, and a journalist can be prone to hyperbole, but I have to say that the final half an hour of the replay on Tuesday is probably the craziest 30 minutes of football I have ever reported on. And I've seen some bonkers things in the past 10 years. But, you know, it was a match that literally did have everything. Witton finished with 9 men. Chester finished with 10 men. There was a dozen yellow cards dished out. Management team members getting sent off from the touchline. And the biggest kind of most controversial moment of all from Witton's point of view is they had a goal disallowed when they were 1-0 up that would have made it 2-0. And I think there was no coming back from Chester if that goal had stood. I suppose it depends whose side you're on as to whether you felt that it was the right decision or not. But I think it's telling that even my colleagues at the Chester Chronicle, who obviously were reporting on the game for the home team, gave the referee 1 out of 10 and said it was the worst refereeing performance that even they had ever seen. So when the winning side are coming out with lines like that, you know that it's been an incident-packed game. And I think a lot of talk in the day after that was around the referee, which is a shame, really, because I think it distracted attention away from the fact of what a tremendous, tremendous effort it was from Witton to take them that close and just narrowly miss out on a place in the second round. Although, you know, I spoke to Carl McCauley, Witton's manager, this morning, and obviously attention needs to turn really quickly back to their league campaign. We talked about them on Division 1, so about... You know, their priority is to try and get promoted this season, but they now, everybody's waiting to see how they react, because I can tell you this, they were absolutely distraught after the final whistle on Tuesday. So it will be fascinating to see how they respond when they play Carlton in the league tomorrow. So yeah, that's heroic corner.
The other team in your patch as well, we should just mention them, Northwich Victoria. Obviously there's loads of things going on at Northwich, but they are... They're managerless at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, Adam Lakeland announced on Tuesday that the previous day, Monday, he had offered his resignation from his role as manager at Vic. They had played Belper at home on the Sunday and come from behind to get a half-decent 1-1 draw, because Belper are doing quite well at the moment in Division 1 South. But, I mean, he gave a very eloquent and classy statement, I have to say, which you can see on, well, there's a link to it on the story we put on our website, but also on his personal Twitter profile. And he basically said he just feels that he can't do any more than what he's done. The constraints on the club are such that he just feels that he can't do the job in the way that he would like. It's become too difficult. And I mean, I think pretty much since he came through the door in January after replacing Jim Gannon, it's been a really tough time. So he stepped down. His number two, Dave Wilde, is going to take the team tomorrow at Stocksbridge. They've got a league game at Stocksbridge. We don't know what's going to happen beyond that. The club haven't committed beyond that to what's going to happen next. And looming little more than a week away is a derby date with Witton. So another
I could tell you that scoreline right now on Boxing Day. I can tell you right now. anyway, unfortunately, due to the fact that this show, this season, we've started to interview so many managers, it's now really... Well, it was always sad to begin with, but you feel like you've got a personal connection now with these managers. Obviously, we know about Neil Toofer at Sutton Coldfield, Paul Moore at Colwyn Bay. We only had him on a couple of weeks ago. We should also mention as well Wayne Holcrow at Loughborough Dynamo. We interviewed him a few months ago because Loughborough had a cracking start to the season. He's sadly left the club as well. So it's that time of the season, unfortunately. We just want to wish all managers well over Christmas and New Year. Absolutely. Those with jobs and those without jobs, unfortunately, at this moment in time. Yeah. Happy Christmas.
And I think it should be added that Adam Lakeland is a very well-respected coach within non-league football. People spoke very highly of him during his time at Curzon Ashton, and I don't think it'll be too long. He'll have a little break now, of course, but I don't think it'll be too long into the new year that we'll see him.
To the Premier Division now, and this weekend we've got some very, very intriguing matches taking place. Yeah. I think game of the day, personally speaking, and we've heard from the chairman, we've heard from the pundits and the commentators, and we've heard from the manager, Stourbridge against Spennymoor Town. Let's see what Stourbridge are made of now when it comes to the league.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna use your phrase of this is a boom banger bang. this is a proper game, isn't it? And look, you know, we've talked rightfully at length about Stourbridge's heroics in the FA Cup, but it's kind of distracted away. Well, I think we touched on it actually in the last show at the Heaton Hops. They're flying in the league as well. Mm-hmm. They're playing really well in the league. Six unbeaten and they've won five of those. And, you know, they're just kind of floating underneath the top five at the moment, but very much in the mix now to kind of break into the playoff positions. And in fact, I was having a look this morning, their next three games, Spennymoor obviously tomorrow, then they've got Rushall, who are obviously table toppers, and then they've got Hensford away. So this is a massive week after a massive week for Stourbridge. So what a time to be following them. What a time to be playing for them. This is a really tough game for them tomorrow. Spennymoor, we touched on, had had that little dip, haven't they, when they went a few games without a win. But they have now won the last two. They've bounced back, beating Ashton and then Mickleover. Probably games you'd expect them to win, but they did need to get back to winning ways after that little bump in the road. So, yeah, without any question, match of the day. And Stourbridge have done really well at home against the kind of top teams in the league this season. They've already beaten Buxton and Whitby at home, and also the other week we touched on it is that when they hammered Workington, so they're feeling pretty good whenever any of the big boys come to play them. So yeah, I think this is all set up to be an absolute cracker.
Absolutely, and we go to the top end of the table. Potential banana skins, Rushall Olympic. They've got potential banana skin travelling to Stormy Corner to take on Skelmersdale. Buxton are travelling to Sutton Coldfield Town. I don't think anyone would like to go to Sutton Coldfield Town at the moment.
Yeah, Rushall are currently sat top of the table, 3 points clear. They're also in good form. They won five of the past seven games. Although they did a couple of defeats sprinkled in there against. They did lose heavily to Buxton and also lost to Warrington a couple of weeks ago. But they do travel really well. Only Nantwich has scored more points away from home this season, so they'll feel okay going on the road. They've got a good record away from home, and kind of the flip side of that is Skem have got one of the worst home records in the division, only 10 points at home this season, and they're really struggling to score goals at home as well. We keep saying, and I include myself in this, that Skem will be okay, they'll turn it round. Tommy Lawson, he knows what he's doing. There's no real sign of a recovery just yet, only one win in the past 11. So you'd think they probably need to start to show some signs of life pretty soon. They're 8 points away from a position of safety, but I mean, you know, like I say, Rushall fly in, they're feeling great. I can't see any other outcome than Rushall continuing this good run of form. Buxton are at Sutton Coldfield, which a couple of weeks ago you'd probably have said nailed on Buxton win, but Sutton Coldfield have had a good week or so. They obviously had that great win against Corby in the 12-pointer a couple of weeks ago, but they did back that up with a 1-1 draw against an in-form Barwell, which again we've touched on. Barwell have shown decent signs of recovery, and Sutton, so it's a good point for them. So not as much of a kind of foregone conclusion as you might think. Although Buxton, again, like we said about Spennymoor, they had a little wobble but have picked up again. They're four unbeaten now and have kept three clean sheets in a row. So they're going to Sutton with confidence. But I think it might be a little bit closer than we maybe would have predicted, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks ago.
Now, the advantage of being Northern is that certain expressions, they feel proper Northern. And one of those terms is bread and butter. Feels a very Northern phrase. And the Matlock Town management duo, they said it's now time for the club to return to the bread and butter of the league. And, you know, it sounds Northern, but it also sounds very, very warm. Whitby Town are coming to Causeway Lane. This is proper bread and butter. Whitby Town are on a bit of a bad run of form at the moment, but so are Matlock in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Matlock, they had a great result, didn't they, against Solihull in the FA Trophy, and, you know, kind of continuing their cup heroics. But you're right, in the league, they lost to Barwell and Stafford in their last two games without scoring a goal. But they're very much still in the thick of things. They're also, despite that little wobble that we've mentioned, they are one of the best home teams in the division. They've only lost one home game this season. So, like you say, Causeway Lane's been a little bit of a a fortress for them. Whitby, yeah, just a slight concern for them. No win in four, and they've lost three of those. This is now their worst run of results of the season. So it'll be interesting. I mean, when you kind of on a run like that, one of the last places you want to go is to an in-form Matlock. And their recent record away to Matlock isn't great either. They've only scored one goal in their past four games there. So this is set up for Whitby's struggles to continue, I'm afraid.
You say no one wants to go to Matlock. I'm imagining nobody wants to go to Grantham Town at the moment. Grantham Town against Hensford Town. My goodness. We've touched upon it on this week's show. We've had the Barwell manager on and we spoke to Colville Town's assistant manager. Those two are in a gang of four who nobody wants to play. And Grantham Town are in that gang as well. And I'm dead chuffed for Grantham Town, I have to say. But Hensford Town coming this weekend. It's got banana skin written all over it.
Definitely. I say Grantham are on their, say Whitby on their worst run of form this season. Grantham are currently on their best run of form. Unbeaten in the past five. They climbed to 13th in the table on 32 points, which is actually only six away from Spennymoor in the playoff places. So, you know, they're on a great run. They're also on feeling good in front of their own supporters. They've not lost any of their past five at home as well. Hensford, they went out of the League Cup in midweek, but I think the manager, Paul Casey, made a lot of changes. He's still kind of, there's a bit of a turnover of players there since he came in to succeed Liam McDonald, and he's kind of still getting his stamp on things. But they lost their first couple of games since he came in, but have bounced back since and beat Workington and Warrington in their past two games, beat Warrington last weekend. He summed it up beautifully. I think, you know, while they're still trying to feel their way under a new manager, it's one of those horrible away games that is going to be a really tough afternoon for them. And I wouldn't be surprised if Grantham won tomorrow.
Now, I'm always saying to my friends behind the scenes and also vocally that Andrew Simpson should win at some kind of journalistic award for all the work he puts in, but also for his punditry work. You'll notice, dear listener, that he mentioned a match day involving Grantham Town at home and didn't mention the athletics track once.
No.
That's very impressive. Very, very impressive. Yeah, exactly. A potential very big game this weekend that's got fireworks written all over it is Blyth Spartans against Barwell. We've obviously spoke to Jimmy Ginelli on this week's show. They've got their night out after this match as well, and they want a happy night out, he says. So he said they want something out of this game. Blyth Spartans, I think, will be a bit sore, though, after that FA Trophy defeat.
Yeah, because they probably felt getting the draw at Moss Lane that they had Alti exactly where they wanted them. And to be fair, with Jimmy Harvey getting fired and Alti in utter meltdown in National League North, I they could be forgiven. And I just wonder if they did feel that they, you know, we've done the job here, and then they were found themselves 3-0 down. They did stage something of a recovery to get back to 3-2, but it ended up being too late. So they'll be hurting after that. I mean, you look at the table and Blyth are currently six, but it is because they've been playing in FA competitions, not because they've been losing league games. In fact, they're unbeaten in their past eight, so their form in the league is very good. But like you say, they're also coming up against one of the form teams in the league. Barwell won four of the past five. In fact, the last time Barwell lost a league game was against Blyth, when Blyth played the away game at Barwell and won 2-0. So they're unbeaten since then. So there's a little bit of revenge they'll be after.
Elsewhere, Nantwich Town are hosting Fricklow Athletic. It feels to me like Fricklow Athletic are trying to do the Michelover thing of, it doesn't matter how many games we played, we want to get the points on the board and try and get ourselves as far away as possible and then let everyone else play catch-up. That result last week in Ilkeston, admittedly Ilkeston played with 10 men for much of the game and then ended with 9 men, but that was an epic result for Fricklow Athletic. Shows the fight that's there. But Nantwich Town, they've turned the corner.
They have, and we've got to tear up the script over at Nantwich Town. We talked for 3 months about how lousy they were at Weaver Stadium, and now we have to stop saying it. They've sorted it out. Parky said he was going to do that, and he has done. They've now won four in a row at home, and that is why their position in the league has improved. In fact, they've won 8 of the past 10 games in the Northern Premier League, which is a points haul, which is more than anybody else in that time. And they carried that on by hammering Skem at home. And I think I said when we were eating hops, I thought Lee Morris, he convinced me in the interview you did with him that he's going to keep them up this season. So Nantwich are big favourites tomorrow, but Frickley, they just have this habit, don't they, of poking people in the eye, and so it wouldn't shock me if they got something tomorrow.
Now, currently in the middle of a cracking run of form is Stafford Rangers. They've only played 19 games. They're currently 17th in the league. It is a very impressive run they're on, but the league position isn't isn't showing that, unfortunately, at the moment for Stafford Rangers. And I know listeners are probably fed up with us going on about Stafford Rangers being that dark horse, but they really are at the moment. This weekend, they're travelling to Warrington Town, Cantilever Park. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Neil Kitchen or if you're a Stafford fan, it must be absolutely doing your head in, because they've not lost any of the past seven games. They've won five of them, and yet they seem to be kind of perpetually anchored in 17th place. There's something glued, they're kind of glued to it. And it's weird, because you're right, it feels like they have improved after a really slow start to the season, but maybe it was slower than we realised, because despite being on this great run, they're still only 17th. These two played out a really good game at Marston Road last month. And it was 2-2. Warrington got a point after converting a late penalty. They've been a little bit hit and miss since Paul Carden came in as manager. And he's done an interview with my colleague on the sports desk of the Warrington Guardian this week, saying that he very much feels this weekend is a good way in which he can measure how much progress they've made, because the Stafford game was one of his first in charge. So he's kind of saying, let's see where we've come in the past 6 weeks.
I'm trying to look for which fixture I should go to next. I'm going to go to this one next. Ilkeston against Marine.
Yeah.
Ilkeston, I don't think you can read too much into that Saturday result against Frickley, because as we said about the number of players, they did look a young side though in the highlights I watched. They've lost a couple of experienced players in the last couple of weeks or so.
They've put out recently that this kind of hybrid model of having a very young team with kind of sprinkled with a handful of senior semi-pros, they're kind of scrapping that model and going back to full-time training again. But that means that those senior pros who have day jobs are probably not going to be around for much longer. So they're kind of going back to, we're going to train, we're going to get on the training pitch and work hard with these young players and get them ready to play games on a Saturday. But I just think the Northern Premier League is so unforgiving that I'm not entirely convinced by that.
You've not heard the interview, but with Jimmy Ginnelly, that's pretty much why Barwell had a slow start, because they picked up a load of Derby, Forest, Notts County players and went with it in the early part of the season. And it quickly dawned on them that when in pre-season they're winning matches, Barwell weren't winning matches when it came to competitive league fixtures. And that's because, as he says, the NPL is unforgiving. And Ilkeston are in a competition at the moment with Frickley Athletic, with Sutton Coldfield Town, with Skem. And I'm going to suggest that those three teams, knowing the managers, are going to be very hard-faced teams, as Frickley proved against Ilkeston on Saturday.
Quite right. And also, yeah, you're right. It's hard enough anyway for these young boys to adapt to playing men's football, if you like it. They've not got much experience of doing that. But they're having to do that now in the midst of very much is going to be a fight for survival now for Ilkeston. And so that makes it twice as hard for me. In terms of the game this weekend, well, it's got nil-nil written all over it. Ilkeston have only scored 7 goals at home this season. And Marine have got one of the most shot-shy attacks. They've only scored 9 away goals, so it's definitely going to finish nil-nil.
Now, 3 fixtures remain, and they're all pretty much of a muchness, in a way. Michelover Sports against Ashton United is a mid-table ding-dong, as is Colville Town against Hales Owen Town, and Corby Town have Workington visiting. We'll touch upon Corby first before we get to the mid-table ding-dongs. That's a tough game, but I'm going to suggest if you want anybody to visit you at the minute, Workington might be that team.
You've summed it up beautifully. It's exactly the line for this game, in that I have absolutely no idea what on earth has happened to Workington. Corby, whilst they are having a rotten time of it, are playing one of the most out of sorts teams in the Premier Division at the moment. One of the members of Workington's management team, Derek Townsend, gave a scathing interview to their local newspaper after the most recent defeat, and has told these players to man up. So that'll be interesting to see if he gets a reaction from that tomorrow.
And Colville against Hales Owen Town, I think, is the next place we should probably go to. We spoke to Mark, the assistant manager at Colville, this week. And what do you think? Could they do a Barwell and start to creep themselves up a bit further?
Well, they put a bit of daylight between themselves and the bottom four, which I think is an important thing, because they were conceding so many goals, and it was a bit of a concern. But they are very capable at the other end of the field, as Berkey pointed out when we were together the other week. And they're in good form, 1-4 of the past 5, so they'll fancy taking Hales Owen out tomorrow. Colville are officially the most entertaining team in the league. Their games have
yielded 81 goals this season, which is a better average than anybody else. So you're going to get your money's worth.
Michelob Sports against Ashley United, the last, but by no means least, fixture of the day.
No, but it is mid-table obscurity or security central, this one, isn't it? Both of them are in pretty rotten form. Michelob lost four of the past five, and Ashton have won only one of the past five. But Ashton have travelled well this season. They've done all right. They've scored more points away from Hurst Cross than they have at home. So that may well give them the edge tomorrow. But I think, you know, it's one of those games where they're both kind of not really worried looking over their shoulder, but they've probably got a little bit too much to do to threaten the top five this season. So about to pick, I think Ashton might carry on their good away form tomorrow.
And once again, dear listener, he could have gone with the customary draw, but he's decided to pick a team, even though both teams, it's going to be a draw. But he's gone, no, I'm going to stick with something. Here we go, Ashton to win. So, Andrew Simpson, on that very, very good note, it's now time to draw a line under this fixture preview for this week. A big thank you for joining us. Where's the best place to keep abreast of literally everything that's going on in non-league football in Mid-Cheshire?
Yeah, northwichguardian.co.uk or on Twitter at @Simo_on_sport for the gloriously bonkers world of Mid-Cheshire football. And probably get more bonkers. Like I say, we've got a big derby next week. We're going to play in Northwich next week. So more fun and games to follow.
Stand by your beds, everyone. It's going to get very Christmassy. Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, thanks for joining us. On behalf of the listeners, you have a lovely Christmas. And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. A special, special thank you to Black Country Radio, and in particular Adam Parks, for allowing us the first 10 minutes of the show to be dedicated to Stourbridge this week. Excellent coverage on Black Country Radio, as always. A big thank you to Johnny Crowther at Redshift Radio, and making their debut on the show, Frick Athletic on YouTube, and in particular, a big thank you to Chris Medwell and Daniel Carter at Frickley Athletic TV for all their hard work and the interview with Lee Morris. A big thank you to all the managers who've joined us on this week's show. A big thank you to James Hayes of the MPL Facebook group and Andrew Simpson of the Mid-Cheshire Guardian. But that is the end of this week's Evo Stick Extra. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at MPL Show. But from everyone here on Evo Stick Extra, wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.